I'm James Kerr, and you're listening to Let's Make Radio Plays. The play you're about to hear is called Fat Girl by Anne Douglas, and it has a fabulous ensemble cast, including myself, James Kerr, but also playing the role of Fat Girl, or Rosie, is Shannon Culkeen, and we've got Jess Grover and Stephanie Can, and in a little bit of accompaniment, Jamie Campbell, who you just heard from the last script. So this is one of the scripts that was commissioned to us through the Community Radio Fund of Canada grant to do radio dramas, and it's the last script that we're doing in this whole production. So, boy howdy, we're all very excited. And Jill Stavely will be on the soundboard, and Mike Lubofsky is helping us out in studio, the other studio, to make sure it's all getting out on the air. So I hope you're hearing us loud and clear, because this is Anne Douglas's Fat Girl. I will also be doing goofy sound effects to accompany, but the most of it is we're going to be carried away by the charming Shannon Culkeen. So, if everyone is ready, everyone's ready, everyone looks ready, okay.
This is the story of the superhero known as Fat Girl. It's my story, in other words, the story of how I made the metamorphosis from mere mortal to someone larger than life.
Larger than life?
Yeah, larger than life. But wait, I'm getting ahead of myself here. You see, before there was Fat Girl, there was even younger me, Fat Baby. That's how it works. You start out as a baby, and then you morph into someone older, wiser, and bigger. You're supposed to get bigger. It's part of the job description of baby, to eat and to grow. And it's a responsibility that reportedly I took to heart right from my earliest baby days. Or at least that's what they like to tell me, my mom and my dad.
This baby sure is hungry. She wants to nurse all the time.
Isn't that what babies are supposed to do?
How am I supposed to know? I'm new at all this stuff. What do I know about babies?
Now, feeding me was a surefire way to stop me from crying. But some people in my family had a problem with my anything-but-baby-sized appetite. Like Grandma Stern, for example. At least, that's what I'm told. Despite all the money I've spent on therapy over the years, I haven't succeeded in reconnecting with my inner infant. Just my inner angsty older child and my inner angsty teen. So I've had to rely on my parents to fill in the gaps in the story that's me. To carry me back to a place and time before my own memory kicks in. To my own first birthday party, for example.
They say it's your birthday! It's happy birthday! Bing bong!
Rosie, look! Grandma Stern's here.
Hello, Mother. Can I hang up your coat?
I think I'll hold on to it for a little while. I'm feeling a bit chilled. But you can take this present for the baby, and this dish of applesauce if you'd like. It's sugar-free and thick enough to hold up a birthday candle.
Looks like you'll have two birthday candles to blow out, birthday girl.
You aren't actually thinking about giving birthday cake to that baby.
It's Rosie's first birthday. Of course we're going to give her some birthday cake.
It's just a small piece, a baby-sized piece.
I know a family that started their baby on sweets at an early age. That baby grew into a fat child, and then a fat teenager, and then a fat adult.
A taste of birthday cake never hurt anyone.
A taste can turn into a plateful in no time. I hate to be blunt. Lord knows I try my best to be diplomatic. But someone needs to say something about Rosie's weight. And don't try to tell me that baby fat is cute. I don't buy into any of that baloney. Which reminds me, I've been meaning to give you this.
A vintage copy of Dr. Spock's Baby in Childcare.
I found it to be very helpful when I was raising my own three children.
I see you've bookmarked the baby height weight chart, Mother.
Yes, dear, I have.
Rosie, why don't you and I go and make a block tower for Grandma?
She really should be walking by now, you know. You were walking by your first birthday. Come and see Grandma, Rosie! Well, never mind then. Grandma will come and see you. Now let's take a little walk down the hall.
Mother, really? Mother, this is getting out of hand. I can't believe you're weighing the baby.
I am this baby's grandmother, and it's my job to take care of her.
Actually, that's my job.
Our job?
We're her parents, remember?
Honestly, I'm just trying to help. I want to spare my granddaughter the agony of growing up fat. Surely you can understand that, Gwendolyn. I mean, it's not as if you haven't had your own fair share of weight struggles over the years.
Thanks for noticing.
What's that, dear?
Nothing, Mother Stern. Nothing at all.
Rosie, would you like to see what Grandma got you for your birthday?
That sounds like a great idea. Come on, Rosie. Look, Rosie, it's a great big red ball. And a tiny workout suit.
Time for cake! And applesauce.
I guess Rosie couldn't wait for us to give her a piece of cake. She decided to serve herself. Is that cake good, sweetie?
And at that point, my mother reached for her Kodak Instamatic camera. She wanted to capture the moment in all of its messy glory. The photo that she snapped shows me stuffing a handful of cake and icing into my mouth while my father laughs. And Grandma Stern looks on in horror.
The calories! The calories!
Babies is out doing it for themselves.
And I don't want you to get the idea that Grandma Stern was totally evil. Sure, she was obsessed with weight. My weight, her weight, everybody's weight. But she was also fiercely loyal to the principle of family. Consider, for example, what happened at my first dance recital, the spring 1970 dance recital for Miss Vicky's dance school. The theme was spring fling, and in keeping with the theme, all members of the beginner class, my class, were dressed up like baby birds. Rockin' Robins, to be specific.
Rockin' Robin, tweet! Tweet!
We wore brown leotards and brown tights and orangish red vests. And according to family legend, Mom, Dad, and Grandma Stern arrived super early so that they could stake out seats in the front row. Yes, they were that keen. And why not? This was my first time performing in front of an audience.
I can't wait to see Rosie. She looked adorable in her costume.
I picked up a few extra rolls of film for the camera, just in case we need them. We don't want to miss a moment of our baby's first recital.
I'm surprised her costume fit. It didn't look like a very generous cut. I think it was designed for a skinny child as opposed to
a... Mother!
Anyway, everything went well until the auditorium lights were dimmed and the rockin' baby robins started to make their way to the stage. At that point, one of the other parents, the father of one of the more petite baby robins, apparently, decided to make a wisecrack about me, and he spoke loudly enough that Grandma Stern could hear.
Hey, check out that kid in the front row. She doesn't look like a baby robin at all. She looks more like a big bird.
Excuse me, sir. Do you make a habit of being rude, or is this a new thing for you?
Good one, Mom.
Yes, Mother Stern, you tell him.
Fortunately, I couldn't hear this guy. I was up on the stage doing my baby robin thing, flapping my wings, and rocking across that stage. And the more the audience laughed and applauded, the more confident I became. Forget about being baby robin. In my head, I had morphed into Robin Redbreast himself.
Rockin' Robin, tweet! Tweet!
Baby, I had style. And that style was contagious. The other baby birds quickly abandoned their pre-scripted dance moves and started to imitate my joyous freestyle flopping robin dance. And the audience loved it. They really loved it. And so did my family.
Yay!
Wonderful!
That's my baby!
That's my granddaughter.
It was a moment of triumph, for sure.
Where did you learn to dance like that, Rosie? You were the best rockin' robin in the class. And you know, dancing is really great exercise.
Mother.
Such great fun. What I meant to say is that dancing is such great fun.
Fun. and all was right in the world, at least for the time being. If only I could have stayed 4 and a half years old forever. But, of course, like all little girls, I had to grow up. I had to pass through the special hell that is the preteen years.
Gwendolyn, there's a spot for your deviled eggs right down at the end there, next to the veggie platter and the so-called marshmallow salad.
Marshmallow salad, yay!
Marshmallows aren't actually a vegetable, so they certainly don't belong anywhere near a salad. But Cousin Ruthie doesn't seem to understand that. She's always trying to sneak contraband foods onto the salad end of the buffet.
You actually think it's that deliberate? That this is some sort of family reunion buffet act of sabotage?
Definitely. She's been at this game for years. If she's not ramping up the mayo in the coleslaw, she's pumping up the sugar content in the fruit salad. She's on a mission for sure.
With that mission being...
her determination to have every member of this family carrying around an extra 30 pounds like she is. If everyone looks fat in the photo, she won't stand out.
Dad? Do I have to be in the photo? I hate having my picture taken.
Of course you have to be in the photo, dear. How else will we be able to keep track of who was here for this magical family moment?
Maybe I can hide in the back row or something.
Don't be silly, dear. Besides, you're not looking nearly as chubby as you did even just a few months ago. I think you might be going through some sort of growth spurt. Either that or you've been laying off the chips and candy bars, just like Grandma told you. You know what? I think you're going to win that $20 bet we made. We'll know for sure once you step onto the scale.
And what $20 bet would that be, Mother Stern?
The $20 bet I made with Rosie. I promised to give her $20 if she could lose 10 pounds over the summer.
You have got to be kidding me. You bribed my daughter to lose weight.
I don't see it as a bribe, dear. I see it more of an incentive program.
Honestly? Richard, aren't you going to say something to your mother? Or to Rosie?
I don't know what to say anymore. I really don't.
Well, you could start with butt out, Mother.
I wish that everyone would stop talking about me and staring at me and judging me. I wish I didn't have to belong to this stupid family.
Well, she's a little moody today, isn't she? I suppose it's her age. Never mind. Before you know it, she'll be back to being her usual sunny self. She takes after me, you know.
And you know that old expression? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger? You know, it's true. Serial humiliation, it helps you to be inoculated against future pain. You survive the unthinkable, and then you wake up the next day, and you go on with your life. And that's how I ended up with my superpower. How I managed to morph into the superhero known as Fat Girl. I turned my pain into fuel, and that made me unstoppable. But first, I needed the right outfit, and that meant passing out of my invisibility phase. A time when I dressed like I were invisible. Gray turtleneck, gray slacks, gray sweater. Okay, I'll admit it. Being invisible served me well for a while. I was able to hide in plain sight at parties. After all, only a few people will bother to notice, let alone hit on, a girl who dresses like dryer lint. Being invisible allowed me to observe but not participate in the pre-mating rituals of the species known as Homo sapiens, human beings in other words. But then it began to dawn on me that there was a price to be paid for being invisible. You relinquish all of your power. A wardrobe change was definitely in order.
May I help you?
Yes. Yes, I'm looking for a pair of running shoes.
Anything in particular?
I'm glad you asked. I am looking for an alternative to the play-it-safe gray and don't-notice-me white running shoes I've been wearing all my life.
How about this purple pair of sneakers?
They're perfect. And they were perfect. I'm talking about a feisty pair of running shoes that oozed so much confidence that they were practically strutting around the store on their own. But wait, I wasn't finished shopping yet.
Will there be anything else?
Yes. I'm also looking for a cat suit and a cape.
Let me see. Well, we've got this gorgeous cat suit in fuchsia. And well, I think that would team up rather nicely with this hot plink plaid cape.
I will take them.
Ching.
The cape was perfect. It was fun. It was unapologetic. It was loud. And as for the cat suit, it was the piece de resistance. I knew it was only a matter of time before some jerk felt the burning need to tell me that fat people couldn't wear cat suits, let alone anything fuchsia. And I couldn't wait to have that conversation. Of course, I didn't have to wait very long for a jerk to appear. There are, after all, an abundance of jerks who double as self-proclaimed wardrobe consultants.
That's a good look for you.
Excuse me?
Never mind.
Actually, I do mind. And I have minded for a very long time. And you know what? I have something to say to you and to every other jerk who, like you, who has made me feel less than worthy. I am fat. And for too long, I have been afraid to utter those three simple words. I have silenced myself out of fear that you would hear those words, see my fat, and reject me. You know what? That ends now. I am no longer going to try to impress people who aren't worth impressing or to bully myself into losing weight. Instead, I'm going to try something radical. I'm going to be nice to myself. I'm going to accept myself. I'm going to really love myself. I am Fat Girl. Hear me roar!
I'm like totally out of here. This chick is breaking.
I am strong. I am invincible. I am Fat Girl. Hear me roar. And that's where my story should end. Right there at the happily ever after mark. But real life being what it is, the story doesn't end quite as neatly as that. It keeps on going. You see, I had no long sooner embraced the inner fat girl when the unthinkable began to happen. I began to lose weight. And maybe the weight loss was sparked by that radical thing I decided to try, self-acceptance. Or maybe it was the result of my newfound love for roller derby, a sport where being big and bold makes you fabulous, not freakish. You see, after a lifetime of seeking self-acceptance found me, and its name was Roller Derby.
Hey, I love your outfit. Are you on your way to Roller Derby?
What's Roller Derby?
Yeah, Roller Derby? It's the best.
And I don't know what it was that made me follow her down the street and into the roller rink, but I did. And suddenly everything changed. I'd set foot into a world where what mattered most was what your body could do. And I quickly discovered that my body could do some amazing things. I don't know who was more amazed as I began to embrace my inner roller derby athlete. My family or me?
Go, Rosie! You've got it! Keep going!
Looking good, Rosie! Looking good!
She's a real natural, isn't she?
But whatever it was, the scale started moving downward, erasing inches from my hips and seriously messing with my identity. If I was no longer Fat Girl, who was I exactly?
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who the heck are you?
I was a little more freaked out, but then my superhero powers saved me. I reminded myself that one of the perks of being a superhero is that you don't have to confine yourself to any one physical form. You can morph into any size or shape you want anytime you want. Your body is simply the container that holds you while you go about your business in the world. It's your superhero disguise. I decided to stick with the fat girl superhero persona, even if my hot pink plaid cape doesn't fit me quite as well as it once did. And why not? I will always be a superhero who battles size injustice, regardless of what size I happen to be wearing on any given day. I am so much more than a number on a scale. These days, my purple running shoes just won't stay still. I don't want to lose any more weight. A superhero needs to keep some fuel in reserve, after all. So I'm keeping an eye on the way my cat suit cozies around my body. It feels like a full-body hug I'm giving myself. A hug that says, you're lovable. You're awesome. And by the way, that cape is great.
Big girls don't cry. Cry, ay, ay, ay. They don't cry.
That was Fat Girl by Anne Douglas, starring Shannon Culkeen, Jess Grover, Stephanie Kahn, James Kerr, and Jamie Campbell, with Jill Stavely and Mike Lebowski producing. Thank you very much for listening. We're going to fade away into Studio A in just a moment, and we want to wish you a great thank you from everyone here at Trent Radio. Everybody say hi. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
You're great.
This is live, and we love you all, listeners.